You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Protesters led by a climate activist group, 350 Aotearoa, took to Parliament to call on the incoming government to prioritise climate solutions that will cut emissions and address the cost of living in coalition negotiations. First, I spoke to 350 campaigner Adam Curry about the purpose of their protest.
Our purpose was to send a really clear message to the incoming government that they need to act on climate, invest in community renewable projects, and retain existing policies such as the ban on oil and gas exploration.
What are your specific calls to the incoming government when it comes to climate action and reducing emissions?
We're calling on the government to invest in community-based energy projects, and that's because we know that community energy projects reduce power prices for whānau, where we're having hundreds of thousands of people in energy poverty right now, and it actually makes our grid more resilient to events such as Cyclone Gabrielle. So community-based energy projects are our focus because, you know, it reduces power, it reduces emissions, it makes our whānau more able to access the power that we need.
Is there any climate legislation that you're concerned could be stalled or scrapped under the new government?
Yeah, there are a range of retrograde policy changes in the pipeline, but it's Prime Minister-elect Christopher Luxon's horror promise to repeal New Zealand's ban on new offshore oil exploration that's the most regressive. The International Energy Agency has been very clear that if we are to avoid catastrophic climate change, there can be no more oil and gas exploration. You know, everyone deserves to have a thriving ocean without the risk of catastrophic oil spills, and we all have the right to a safe climate and a future in which Earth can sustain life in all its diversity, and so restarting oil exploration puts that all at risk.
How might the incoming government's expressed views on co-governance impact climate action, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely, it will impact climate action. I think we know that Māori-led solutions reduce emissions. Māori communities have been, you know, living in climate harmony for centuries, and so threats to co-governance is a massive threat to the climate. You know, we're all in this together. Climate is about working together. It's about valuing all solutions, and right now, Māori-led climate action is not being valued and is not being resourced. So we're calling for the government to cease its sort of racist talk on co-governance and actually back and invest in Tino Rangatiratanga, meaning Māori-led projects to implement the solutions that our Indigenous communities know work.
And the economy is a priority of the incoming government, we've seen. How can climate action economically benefit Aotearoa?
Yeah, well, we know that $1 invested in climate action gives $5 of benefit to the community. So investing in climate action makes great economic sense. You know, clean energy creates three times as many jobs as fossil fuels do. So climate action creates good, clean, you know, living wage union jobs for all of us. It benefits our economy, helps us get to where we live, work and play. It makes our communities thrive. It just really makes good economic sense. And it does not make good economic sense to invite oil companies into New Zealand with the profits going offshore that don't give out anything to our economy or to our communities.
The incoming government is also expected to focus on building roads over more climate-friendly transport options. What do you make of this?
Well, an investment in roads to nowhere don't help our climate, and they don't help our economy, and they don't help us get around. You know, we know that just building more roads, people use those roads, and it doesn't help congestion at all. Building more roads is not what we want to do. If you actually want to reduce congestion, you want to be enabling people to get into public and active transport, enabling people to fill up cars more, and to discourage private vehicles so that people who do have to drive can actually get to where they need to go. But investing in roads is economic madness. It's maybe a very short-term popular electoral policy, but building roads ultimately doesn't help our economy, and it's investment in clean, active public transport that actually will help us get around, that will get people to businesses and spending money in our communities, and it will save the climate that we all rely on.
What plans do you have as 350 Aotearoa to continue to lobby the incoming government for climate action?
New Zealanders fought long and hard to stop oil exploration, and New Zealanders are proud of that win in a similar way to that they're proud of New Zealand's nuclear-free status. So, you know, if the government even tries to reverse the ban on oil and gas exploration, they need to be prepared for hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders to rise up, to take action, to protect the climate that we all love. You know, New Zealanders really care about climate action. We've seen this through the parties that campaign hard on climate, Te Whati Māori and the Greens, did well electorally. So the government is going to face massive resistance if they try to roll back or do not deliver on the climate policies that we need. People in Aotearoa know that climate change is here, right? Any rollback of climate action would be a slap in the face to those from the East Coast or Tamaki Makaurau who are still putting their lives together after the floods this year.
I also spoke to Oxfam climate justice lead Nick Henry about what they would like to see from the incoming government when it comes to climate action. Here is that interview. What do you think these parties being in power could mean for climate action in Aotearoa?
We need to wait and see and give them a chance to lay out the plan once they form a government, because part of the question has been how the parties that will form our next government plan to meet the targets that all parties have agreed to under the Climate Change Response Act or the Zero Carbon Act amendments to that, to get to net zero by 2050, to reduce our emissions significantly by the end of this decade. And the incoming Prime Minister and National Party have said they agree with those targets, so we need to see what they're going to do and give them time to do that. There are some areas where we do have concerns. So Oxfam Aotearoa has been very consistent in calling for a just transition away from oil and gas production and definitely an end to exploration for new oil and gas in Aotearoa. And there have been some worrying signs that the new government might seek to expand the oil and gas industry further by reopening offshore exploration. We think that would be a mistake, and that's something that we call on the new government, once they have a chance to form, to really take a pause to look at the evidence on that, because the evidence is mounting globally. It's really established globally that there is no room for new oil and gas development or exploration within the global climate goals that have been set in the Paris Agreement. In fact, if we're to keep global warming to 1.5 degrees, as our government and all governments have agreed, we have to actually leave more than half, nearly 60% of the known oil and gas reserves in the ground if we're to have even a 50% chance of keeping to those sort of guardrails, those last safety barriers to avoid the most extreme of the climate crisis that would otherwise be coming. So we need actually to plan now a managed decline of that industry, a just transition that avoids serious disruption to jobs, which would happen if we just left it until the last minute to make a plan. And also industry needs to think about not investing in ways that are going to strand their assets in a declining industry. So a responsible government would take stock of that evidence that the International Energy Agency is saying that demand will decline for oil, gas and coal this decade. The demand is peaking and is starting to decline, and there really isn't a future for this industry, so it would be counterproductive and quite dangerous to start exploring for new offshore production at a time when we need to be actually managing a decline.
National and ACT in particular have also said that they want to build more roads over low emissions transport options, and they would also increase the price of public transport, taking away that half price subsidy that's currently in place. What impact do you believe this would have?
Well, the thing is that public transport that's accessible, meaning that, you know, we need to expand our network so that everyone as much as possible can access public transport to get where they need to go, accessible in terms of access for disabled people, and accessible in terms of affordable as well. So either free or subsidised public transport is really essential. But that's one of the easiest and most popular things that you can do for climate action that also benefits reducing the cost of living. So Oxfam Aotearoa and other organisations that care about climate justice would like to see an expanded public transport network. And there are various ways to do that. So, you know, interested to see what the new government wants to prioritise, whether it's light rail or heavy rail or buses or electric buses or other alternatives. But we do need to see an expansion of the public transport and active transport, walking and cycling network. It's good for climate justice, but it's also just good for communities and good for choice. And actually good for people who need to drive because it reduces congestion as well. So we think that the new government will come in with a balance, and they'll need to assess where that balance is. But public transport, expanding our public transport network is the big challenge of the future. Sure, you need to maintain roads, but we really need to expand our public transport network.
Are there any policies of National and ACT that you've seen that you support?
Well, so like I say, there's a difference between what parties say in an election when they're appealing to their base and supporters, and what a government can do once they've got access to all of the advice from their ministries and the public, and once they're governing for all people in Aotearoa. And so it's an unknown, and it's a time when we need to be giving our voices to call on the government to take strong action for the climate and for our communities. And I think that there is potential to find common ground where the National Party and the people who will form the new government have said that they believe in the goals of reducing our emissions. Actually, one thing I agree with is that we need to be doing more of that action here in Aotearoa, supporting New Zealand to bring down our own emissions rather than paying other countries to do it for us through this kind of international offsetting thing. I mean, that's a bit technical, but it is something that these parties have criticised in opposition. So if they're going to come out with a plan to reduce New Zealand's emissions further and avoid that cost that Treasury said could be in the billions, you know, over $3 billion if we're to pay other countries to do climate action for us, we'd like to see a plan for New Zealand to do that ourselves. And the other contribution that we do need to make is reducing our production of fossil fuels, because that's going to be on the agenda globally this year. And that's another thing, is that our new government will be representing all of us at these global meetings coming up. So right after the new government forms, 6th of November, whether it's the Prime Minister or Foreign Minister, the new government will be representing us at the Pacific Islands Forum in Rarotonga. And it would be really embarrassing, I think, for all of us if our new government was talking about reopening oil and gas exploration at a time when other Pacific leaders, our neighbours, are talking about a plan to end fossil fuel exploration and production entirely as part of a just transition to a fossil fuel-free Pacific. We know that's going to be on the agenda for the Pacific Island Forum, and so we would urge our new government to stand with the Pacific on that, support that goal, and take a pause on their plans for the industry in New Zealand until they can get the proper advice, consider the evidence, and we think they'll find the evidence doesn't stack up for new fossil fuel development. And then same in December, they'll be going to the UN climate talks in Dubai, COP28. And there, we know on the agenda, there'll be a push for a global phase out of fossil fuels. That's really number one on the agenda at those climate talks. So again, not a good time to be talking about reopening oil and gas exploration. That would be, I think, embarrassing for all of us. So better for New Zealand to line up with the Pacific and look for the future of renewable energy and look for how we can benefit from that industry and that emerging technology and development rather than the old fossil fueled path that's really not our future.
I also spoke to Justine Sachs from the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions group Stand Up, representing workers under 35, about their concerns about the incoming government when it comes to the climate and workers' rights. Here is that interview. So how is workers' rights connected to the climate crisis?
We're advocating for a just transition for the costs and the risks associated with the transition to not be borne by workers. We don't think that that's equitable. We don't think that's fair. And we want those workers to be taken care of. We also think how you build support for climate action. by making sure that it's fair and that people are being taken care of as we transition away to a, you know, low carbon, no carbon economy. Yeah. So we've been doing a lot of work in like Taranaki, and in places where, carbon intensive industries, where we have union members, to prepare for a just transition and to advocate for a just transition. So very much deeply involved in, climate action and also like what the economy will look like as we transition.
Can you provide some insight on some of the challenges facing young workers or low-income workers in particular right now?
Workers are doing it really tough at the moment. We need climate action, we need a just transition, we need support during this cost of living crisis. We don't have a lot of confidence in the incoming government. They've run on, stripping back renters' rights. They want to take away fair pay agreements, which were due to give essential workers like bus drivers and, supermarket workers, these workers that have got us through a really challenging period, especially, during this pandemic. They want to take away their hard-earned pay increases. We think it's really wrong. We think we need to be really strong and stand in opposition from day one to what we think is going to be a very anti-worker government.
Are there any policies that you've seen from ACT or National that you think could potentially be beneficial or could be improved to support workers and the climate?
I haven't seen a single policy that I think will benefit workers. I think what they, in terms of how they can improve, I think they can retract their promises to repeal fair pay agreements, retract the promise to get rid of to repeal protections for renters. They want to put in no cause evictions. They want to put that back in. They can also commit to raising the minimum wage to continue raising benefits above inflation in line with wage increases, which is what the Labor government was doing. So I think it's actually more about not doing things rather than policies that are particularly pro-worker.
Just lastly, what would your message be to the incoming government when it comes to equitable climate action?
It's not good enough. We need climate action now. We've been through, the past year has shown us how disruptive, we have been disrupted by the climate breakdown. We're all impacted. This is not the time to be repealing climate policy. This is not the time to be raiding the climate fund to pay for uncosted tax cuts. This is not the time to get rid of the clean car discount. This is not the time to repeal the ute tax. It's not the time to scale back our climate issues. Instead, we need to go harder and much, much faster. This is urgent, it's just not good enough. So we're not going to be standing idly by while, basically our future is being being put in peril by, frankly, irresponsible politicians.
That was stand-up co-convener Justine Sachs and Oxfam's climate justice lead, Nick Henry, on the incoming government's plans for climate and workers' rights, as well as 350 Aotearoa campaigner Adam Curry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.